give a treatment assessor.
What I have done.
Okay, thank you.
And then you just need to remember to take the other one out of the
I'll just give that a go. I guess you haven't heard this stuff before. I've alluded to it.
Yes, I did watch the neurological
Oh, good. Well done. Oh, there it is. The blue things are on the top there. Look. No wonder I couldn't find it.
Oh, is that the blue book that you've been referring to occasionally?
Oh, no. The blue just... book. No, it isn't. But that plastic folder thing on top, is it? Or is
there.
Uh-huh. Right. Here we go.
Do you want to be on for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
You need 4 hours. We need 4 hours of credit points. Can you make sure this is on, please? Is it still recording? Yes. Hang on, I'll just have some water. Well, I've mentioned you've got to be drinking a lot of water, which is not fluoridated and not cold. And we have to have salt, otherwise what are we going to do about chloride? And we need to have iodine, otherwise we're not going to run the body. Now we need B12 because the intrinsic factor might be missing in everybody because their gut bacteria is not happy. Go back to the zinc and magnesium and fibre and the real food, etc. So B12 is going to be masked because a lot of food's got folic acid in it and it shouldn't have it. Because a lot of us have this thing called MTHFR gene and we have also pyroluria. And that means for pyroluria, B6 and zinc are not being stored but are being overly secreted. Well, that's a problem for the reasons I've mentioned for zinc before. And why is this happening? Oh, you need to be on special products. No, you don't. You need to get the aluminium, etc., out of your body, which is an epigenetic change. Remember the wind blowing over the trees and they're holding their own just. And if we don't do that, we're going to have big problems. And the big problems we're going to have is that everybody's not making enough ingredients and they are falling apart. So they've got tingling in their feet, might even be up to their knees. You look at anybody who's got irritable bowel and Crohn's disease and you ask them, can they feel their feet? Or you can just get your fingernails and just run them up the legs. Where can you feel your legs? They didn't know they couldn't feel them. Ooh, there's a problem. And if we don't do something very quickly about that, their neurological damage will be permanent. We can call it Way disease, you know, like B and Way syndrome if we like, but we're now in a time when guts are messed up totally by glyphosate because, of course, we don't have a shikimate pathway, but the gut bacteria does. So let's kill off all the gut bacteria, and what have we got? Well, we can't digest things like the grains that they've soaked it in before they have done things to it, calling it food, etc. It's blowing around in the wind on top of everybody's organic crops and all the rest of it. So we actually need to be thinking a lot smarter than we are because people are in pain because they don't have enough magnesium. Now, they're going to be in pain just by virtue of not having enough D3. D3 is indicative of chronic pain. And then people are going to go, but Heather, it might be toxic. What do you think about that with the scans before you do 12 in one pregnancy? I don't think so. Do you think about that? But the fluoride in the water that of course is safe because it wouldn't be otherwise they wouldn't put it in. No. So what we need to do is go, what is she talking about? What we need to be thinking about is nature. We would be out there in the sun. It would be hot. We would take our clothes off. I don't use sunscreen and never have because my forebears were Scots. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to spend any money. That means I looked at my dad, who was always in the garden, and he didn't have any skin cancers, and he was bald. So I thought to myself, not sure about this. I think we probably need to be in the sun. I feel better in the sun. Of course I'm not going to sunbathe in the sun. In Christchurch, it was damn cold. The sun might be up, but the wind is something fierce, even though it's summer. So I don't have, apparently, 60 years looking skin. Well, that's because I didn't bake it. That simple. I didn't bake it. I think this is normal for my age. So we need to have sun. So now I'm going to do how do we make hormones, okay? We diversion. Yes, I'm talking about pain and neurological problems. We need to have vitamin D3, otherwise we're not going to make hormones. And we need to have fat, otherwise we're not going to make hormones. Now this business about statins, hello, I mentioned before. Why have these people got diabetes and chronic pain? They've got chronic intractable pain because they don't have any D3. Go and look up anything on D3. The symptom of lack of D3 is pain. If you've got anybody in pain, it's lack of D. Now, they're not going to access the magnesium without the D. Magnesium, we've got the mercury problem. We've got where's the fat, can't access the D. If you look at anybody who's written about any one of these things, they've got their medical tunnel vision. They've been gone through a funnel, as it is, to be educated. Now they've got a tunnel, and this is the only thing I'm going to look at. Well, they forget that you can't make an omelette with just eggs. You can, but you might want to put some other things in. Or your chocolate cake actually needs chocolate. I mean, it's a case of not just quantity and quality, but it has to actually show up. And so there's a few cofactors in all of these things. And so we need to have fat and vitamin D, otherwise we're not going to make any hormones at all. So right there with your menopause or your insufficient breast milk or whatever, how much do I get people to take? 50,000 international units a day? Oh, shock, horror, yes. Well, I'm used to people being totally covered who are in a deep state of distress because they're in a religious community in New Zealand. Magic results. I've written about that elsewhere. So that might be going on until they feel better. Whatever feel better means to them. Look, I had one patient who misheard me because I told her to take 20,000 a day and 50,000 every Saturday, and I saw her in another week and she'd taken 50,000 a day, was jumping out of her skin and never felt so good. Where was menopause? She had post-shingles pain, that was gone. And she had so much energy and she didn't need to see me again. Good. Well, what did I do? I didn't give her enough. She worked the dosage out herself. And so I'm saying that once you've filled the tank, you know, like we've all got cracks at the bottom of the dam here. So having a wee sun shower is not going to do a lot. We're in 1,000 international units a day is half what they give the Norwegian babies to prevent type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is the same as multiple sclerosis. It's vitamin D dependent. We're being stupid, so is cancer. Just stupid. Run away from the sun at your own peril. So you're going to have to up that. Now you go and get blood tests and you're told it's within normal range. Oh, here we go again. Or it's way toxic and you're going to have calcium in your kidneys and blah, blah, blah. They don't know what they're talking about. Put magnesium on here and you're going to have to do something about undoing why your body's not absorbing things. And I don't mean to be on this forever. I mean until you feel better, whatever that means to you. Out of pain would be a good start. But we've got to pull out the rubbish that shouldn't be in there. Otherwise, where's your magnesium? So these two come together and make something called pregnenolone. Now, pregnenolone you can buy in the shops in the States, but of course it's dangerous and, you know, it's a hormone, we can't have it. You can also buy 25,000 international units from iHerb.com, 10,000 international units and 5,000 international units. They are capsules and that's soft gel, I don't know about that. And I'd suggest you sort it out. Pregnenolone is what you make all your hormones with. You're not going to do that if you don't have B and C, which are water dependent, so you need to have it coming in all the time with a gut that's going to want to do it, and magnesium and zinc, which are both annihilated by any access to the mercury and the aluminium, and rest. Well, what's that? I posit you might need some rest in there, some water in there too. Okay, so then what does that do? That goes and makes, ta-da! Now I've got this on other sites and apps and all. This is a mud map. DHEA. Mm-hmm. Not allowed to have that either. Oh, dangerous stuff. Except you can go and get it from health food shops in the States. 7-Keto DHA. You might also get it from Health House 2000. No, what is it? Health House. Healthhouse.co.nz. I think that'll get you DHEA. 7-Keto DHEA. Go to iHerb and get your vitamin D at the same time. Okay, so we've got DHEA acted upon with progesterone. Oh, poor progesterone, it got lost. Dear, progesterone had a little bit of an altercation. Estrogens, they're everywhere. Phyto, myco, xeno, it doesn't matter. Excess estrogens all through the body. So we're not going to make our DHEA. We've got half the amount of DHEA under normal circumstances at 40 than we had at 25. That, I think, is due to the excess heavy metals. Because just by the way, shall we stick in what's causing the problem? Well, we're too scared of the sun, we're too scared of fat, we don't have our gut working, we don't have these in our environment because of modern farming practices, and we've messed up with the heavy metals from one way or the other. Oh shit. I think it's over there.
I hope it's over there.
Apparently it is. No, she told me it was over there, but I don't know where.
Shut me down.
Sorry.
That was what I spotted. So what we need to do is realise that the doctor starts doing tests not even here yet to tell you if you're okay. No, it's red. Is it red meaning it's stopped or it's gone?
No, it's gone.
Thank you. Okay, so the problem we run into very quickly is the doctor's organising the wrong tests. No, no, I mean take the whole thing.
Thank you.
You know, like...
Thank you.
The doctor's running tests, and they're not tests that you need to know about, because they don't even ask about pregnenolone, because there's me thinking, oh, I wonder what my hormones are doing. A wee while ago, and I thought I'd just go down and check. Well, I had no estrogen, which I was impressed at. Look, there's something we can actually do. And so steaming wasn't quite enough. That's easy. There's estrogen cream. Shock horror. Heather's talking about hormones. Yep. First time in my life I've been deficient in estrogen, and didn't that make a difference? I'm not bagging Western medicine, but they need to ask better questions and they need to put their thinking caps on, because they're not asking what we need to know in order to make a better life for ourselves. So there we've got the DHEA, which is dwindling, and that's our old eggs problem. We just need to up all of that above there, okay? So now we might have metabolic hormones, and now we might have reproductive hormones. And now they're going to ask damn four questions of those blood tests. And they're going to ask, do we have enough TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone? Do we have enough T4? Who cares? We've got to convert it to T3. Doesn't matter if it's sitting there in your body. We actually have to do something with it. And so to do something with it, we need zinc and selenium. And oh, look at that. Blocked by the heavy metals again. And iron, well, of course it's going to go off for women, because we're going to bleed too much because we've got hot blood. So there's your designation of TCM, hot blood, because we have, you know, yang deficiency, we're flabby ass, we've got all sorts of problems, we've got breasts out here. That's because of the magnesium, and I've done this in other presentations. And we're going to need these to be working, but they are blocked. We don't have them in the environment. And this here we can't absorb if our zinc's not there and our magnesium's not there and our gut is not working. Whoops. Okay, so here's another very large whoops. We've got these things called halides. I've spoken of elsewhere, and if you remember your periodic table, we've got chlorine, fluorine, bromine, and iodine. Oh, look at that, down the bottom. It's hard for the body to get. It's a lot easier for the chloride. So let's just put chlorine bleach on everything and get in the swimming pool, and there we go. And we're going to put fluoride in the water, very smart. And in the toothpaste, and in all of the blah, blah, blah. It's going to make your teeth better. No, it's not. And we've got bromide. And bromide used to be given by the army to stop men from having a penis that worked. And it used to be given to all of the inmates in prison, so they didn't rape each other. They've stopped doing that now. And it is outgassing from all of the bedding and all of the fire retardants and all of our cars and all of our white goods, otherwise known as the smartphones and computers. And it is being sprayed on the strawberries and every other damn thing you can poke a stick at. And so we've got more bromide than we know what to do with. But they've also put it in the bread as a flour conditioner instead of the iodine. And it's all over the shop. And it displaces the iodine. So, hello, we've got cancer. Yes, we do. Because we're being stupid, because we've got halides, and halides stop those four molecules of iodine being tied into tyrosine, which is a protein, which isn't going to get absorbed because we don't have enough. Let's go over it again. Water, salt, and iodine. Whoops. Is it ethical to pretend we don't need these things? Let's give them something for their good. Let's give them something that's going to ensure that they don't have enough digestive enzymes. Let's say that it's causing heartburn and we need to sort out the heartburn. But in fact, we don't need to sort out the heartburn because they need more gut acid, not less. And to do that, we're not going to put all that aluminium down their throats, because that's going to stop everything from working more. We actually need to sort out the underlying problem. And just by the way, we've got all the heavy metals blocking here too, and blocking just about anywhere that we want to look at. We've got heavy metals. And those heavy metals are going to have to come out by, oh dear, some way that's not chelation, because chelation's not going to do it. And that's the only way I've found is those liquid activated zeolites. 5 drops times 6. I lost my 6 kilos, quite simply. Forget about weight loss. I didn't do anything with diet. I didn't do anything with exercise. I decided it was about time I got back to the weight I used to be. Because I've got a heart problem. Why? Because of the mercury in my body. Thus we have fluid where it shouldn't be, and there. So yes, I'm on fluid tablets, and yes, I am on heart tablets, and yes, I am on thyroid tablets, but a quarter of what I was. This fat pad and all of the excess is gone in 7 weeks because I took those drops. And those drops, over there, I don't know if I'm going to catch them. I'm not a catcher. Thank you. These drops, it's not a product placement. It's the only thing I've found to work. So now we're going to talk about neurology. We've talked about pain enough. We've got pain because this is not working. We don't have iodine in our body. And so we've got yang deficiency, so we've got lack of flow. We've not got magnesium in our body, so we've got stuck liver qi, so we've got lack of flow. And all the clotting problems and every other damn thing. And our gut's not working on account of not having either of them. And our hormones, thus our 7 and 8 year cycles are not working. And we're miserable. And therefore, we're given antipsychotics and antidepressants. And hey, we don't need any more damp. We've got enough. We're yang deficient. And so there's the iodine gone again. Oh, let's give you another flu injection. Goodness gracious. It's got mercury in it. There's more mercury. I don't know who thought this up, but I think it's on account of that. And it's not ethical. It's not biologically sustainable. So in looking at 5 drops 6 times a day, when I give that to babies who've been vaccine damaged, oh yes, it does happen, within a couple of days, sometimes they're not the same creature. Because now the magnesium's getting in, and all of that symptomology you've got is lack of vital ingredients. So I've been talking about nutrients, and I didn't talk about what you put in your mouth so much. I said, look, inner cells, it isn't working. So then we've got flows. Can the flows happen? Well, not too well, for the same reasons. Look, we don't have enough iodine. We've got all that damp sitting around where it shouldn't be. You start either cupping out the cold, putting some moxa in after that, all the really basic stuff I talk about, painting the iodine on, and start peeing. Yes, you know, pollen 5 might work for your herbs, but I think by now we might need to start with pull out what shouldn't be there, put in what should, and now do they need the herbs? Because I'm telling you, back in the 80s and 90s, that was wonderful. It isn't now. So then I added in, and now I'm having to take out. But we really shouldn't be putting it in to start with. So what is ethical about, let's pretend we don't need ingredients as acupuncturists. Let's pretend we don't do that. We've got this box and we do that very well. We're being purists. Yeah, but you're not being a mother or a farmer. And this is called, is this biologically sustainable? And I'd say at this point, not really. So when somebody's in pain, their whole world collapses. For the lack of magnesium, sometimes it's just as simple as putting magnesium on the skin. If they can absorb it, here we go back to the mercury problem. And we might need to put an awful lot of vitamin D in, and just that by itself can sort it out. That's ridiculous. I've cured people of their... Naughty word, not allowed to use it. I've cured people of their multiple sclerosis. I wasn't treating their multiple sclerosis. I was treating them by getting them to take glutathione 6 every morning. And the reason I was getting them to take that is because we make our own glutathione, except we sometimes don't when we haven't got access to our magnesium and selenium. And the fact is that that glutathione is the only one that works 6 in the morning. Now, I've got them to take that long term. They just disappear. So do the people who've got thyroid problems and everything else. Ha! Very simple, isn't it? Plus, they're doing other things with their life. They're not coming to see me necessarily. And the people who've got multiple sclerosis are on 50,000 international units of vitamin D a day until their eyes are back on track or whatever. And of course, they're eating differently. And of course, they're looking after their gut, which doesn't mean taking a whole lot of prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes. Let's start at the beginning. What would have Mum said? Where's the song? I don't mean the white stuff, I mean the pink stuff and the grey stuff. The flows aren't flowing. So I'm going to do a little in-depth area of neurological consequences of what we've done to date. Okay? The reason I'm doing this is because it's a bit pertinent in my life because I'm getting old and my daughter has not died. She's 30 in a month. And she's still in her own nappies. It's a bit confronting.
Because what next?
The brothers, her family have nothing to do with her. And this is a normal woman's life, you know. Just, mum will deal with it. She's the backstop. So I went off to a disability strategy meeting in New Zealand. And, of course, it was for the parents and they forgot to tell the parents. So the room was awash with all the helpers. And there were two parents who were parents. There were four other parents who were workers in the sector. And the rest of them... No, it's shut down. The shutter thing shut.
Yeah, no, it turns off the back switch. It's still recording. That's what we were worried about at first.
Really? I saw it go snap. Okay. Can you see it moving?
No, but if I do this...
While you were gone.
And this...
Did you manage to change the battery and...
Go.
Okay, thank you. So now we're going to talk about neurological problems after I hope you've watched my one that I did in 94, which was part of a pregnancy and before that fertility called Women's Lives in Context. And the context of this teacher's work is that I've put Catherine in the middle of it. And at that point in 94, she was still living with me. She's not now. So I had to give up two children in order to raise one child. That was the youngest, and that's a mother's life again. And Catherine would not be where she is if I had been not good so much as responsible. They are not the same thing. I thought I was being responsible by vaccinating. Whose version of events? So what we need to do is look at neurological changes over the gene. Okay, so I went to the Disability Strategies meeting and they wanted questions from the floor. Put my hand up, answer the question. Are we going to be looking at causation? Are they all on that side of the page, aren't they? Where are they going to be spending the money in the next 10 years? Well, I can tell you, my daughter is on the highest level of any funding that she's allowed to get, and then some, and she is profoundly autistic and massively brain injured, which means that because I fixed her and she can run very fast, she needs 24-hour care and would be really violent and is starting to be, because one thing leads to another in life, and I think she's a bit pissed off, as I would be were I her. I'm a little irritated that they keep on pumping everybody's kids' bodies, including my new grandchild about to happen, with things that are going to stop life. And that's not going to be useful for my grandchild, and it's not possibly useful for your children, and you just haven't noticed that they're a bit more dumb than you ever were and can remember people. And I know I might be upsetting you, but I've got all of my kids on the autistic spectrum, so I actually know a bit about this. And how did that happen? All of those Mercury stuff and other stuff that shouldn't have been there. No, I don't have weak genes. Nobody else in my family's got this. My two sisters, who are younger than me, have got children who appear to be okay. They're not on thyroid medication. They don't have heart problems. So what's going on here? They don't have a Catherine in their lives. No, they don't. But I'm the one that copped it from legacy pollution. So they don't want to know about causation, and they just looked at me blankly. Later on, once we've gone through this process of everybody spending lots of the government money, which is not being directed at helping sort out problems, really, as in, why have we got this incredible surge epidemic of children who need special needs care for the rest of their lives? Dad walks out. Mum's got the rest of the kids underfoot, they're doing God knows what, and this one here's violent, getting bigger. What's she going to do with them when she gets to be my age and size? So that's a problem. I thought it might be an idea if we talked to that. Well, we weren't. And as a by the way, later on in our little group, there's another parent and myself, and I happened to mention her, that her kid's massive epilepsy might have been due to lack of available magnesium. She might want to slather him in it. And then he had a massive head injury because he had a massive fit and then clocked himself, and now he's got a brain injury on top of whatever had caused him to have these problems, which she diligently waited for him to grow out of. So she would have vaccinated him at the normal times, and he just kept on getting worse. And if you go back with a different lens and look at how many heavy metals can a body cope with without breaking down, and you get a different set of answers than if you ask a different set of questions. And we're not going to go through, is it safe? But is it dangerous? What would happen if we don't do it? And I would suggest to you that my daughter would not be where she is if I hadn't given her MMR and it went just 4.5. Because I watched her devolve. I had a nearly out of autism. I had a nearly fixed. I'm good at my job. And she was never going to be normal, but gee, she wouldn't have been what she'd evolved into. So there I am in the disability strategies meeting, and this woman thinks, well, you know, like, surely there's something that can be done. I say, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of Chinese practitioners around there who are actually ordinary doctors as well, and some of them are really good with scalp acupuncture, and I'm sure, as they can sort out people after they've had strokes and all, that some of them, not me, I haven't had that training, some of them would be really amazing at helping with the closed brain injury that your child has and a lot of the others, because I know what I've done with my children and one particular child in order to rescue them neurologically, and that was cool, I thought, and I acted on what I was thinking. Then some bright spark over there says, oh, but we'd have to check out that none of them are charlatans. I cast my eye around the room and said nothing. So why are you not looking at what needs to happen around in your environment? We need to stand up and do something about being pro-life, because being anti-life is the antibiotics, the anti-gut bacteria, the anti-food, the anti-everything that's going to allow life to blossom as it should. So now we're going to talk about briefly the neurological consequences over a Jing life. I've started talking about baby being born and being nurtured or not by mum freaking out about what's on the scans, mum having all of these injections to make it safe because it doesn't have an immune system when it came out. Never did. We're all here. Where's the kid's immunity come from? Placenta, vaginal microbiome, breasts. Mum gets exposed to something, baby's breast milk is instantly different, baby's sending messages back through its spit into the saliva, into the nipple, feedback mechanism, body goes, oh, really? Let's just cut that out and say, let's make money. What about the safe water? What about how we're going to sterilise it? There's more chlorine. What are we going to do about the fluoride in the water that you're making, that whatever formula made from whatever, which was not ever sterilised as raw ingredients, and what is in it? And the gut, I've already mentioned, like, how ethical is it to separate mum and the baby? Is this biologically survivable, even? Forget about sustainable, but survivable. Not really, because she might bash the kid on the head because she's had a gutful. Some of you might have been there. It's called post-traumatic stress. And add into that, postnatal depression, postnatal psychosis. How'd you get that? Oh, they gave you gas. Right. Well, access to the nitrous oxide means that your B12 pathways are gone. Oh, that's clever. Anybody who's been working with laughing gas, their B12's gone for the count. They don't have to be alcoholics. They don't have to be gluten intolerant. They don't have to be vegans or vegetarians. They could just have had exposure to any number of things that carry on in life. This is not okay. I'm here to say that it's not okay because their testing is wrong. They should be doing the Cocobalamin test, which is you are off everything that's got any B in it for at least 24 hours. Then they do the test and whoops, you've got none. Otherwise, they do it, and of course, they're doing the wrong test. So they reckon you're fine and you're not. So here we go. We've got supposedly mum in a good state of health, and we're not even going to talk about the sperm. Now we've got the garden and the baby nest in a good state of health, and we've got all the flows flowing, and the sacrum's actually got its right, you know, it's got everything working in there like it should where I started, and we're doing the sacral moxifen to make sure we're doing all the massage. We've gone to somebody like me who can marry the Avago stuff with the acupuncture. That's all sorted. Now her broken coccyx is being addressed by all of the other things that you can do at home, which I will mention elsewhere. And thus the placenta is working. And the placenta is working because it's getting the flows flowing. And we've got enough flows flowing because structurally it's in the right place. Not only is that in the right place, but she's got enough water. No, she is only drinking Coca-Cola, but it's okay, it's Diet Coke. How come the midwife didn't notice that? That baby was born 3 days, it was dead. Mum comes to me at 23 weeks. How come the midwives haven't noticed the only thing she's ever got with her is a can of Diet Coke? I don't know. Just I don't know what goes on in the real world, but I'm not living in it, patently. Just patently. So, how come that's a problem? Well, we've got the aspartame, which is 16% aluminium. 16% aluminium is aspartame. And your body doesn't recognise it as being sugar, so you keep on being hungry. Oh boy, let's have some more of that. And of course she will be doing it cold. And she would have had all that phosphoric acid depleting all of, leaching all of her minerals out of her body, not making the baby. The baby died. So she comes to me at 23 weeks, some bright spark said, go and see Heather, she fixes things. And I'm going, yeah, not without some help. So I banned her from anything that wasn't water. I got her to take a multivitamin twice a day. I knew she had very limited funds. And I got her to use magnesium. It was a 9-pound baby born by a cesarean. Of course it was, because she was told it was too big for her to be able to birth. Of course she was. And I told her she was coming back weekly until she stopped having that incredible bone pain. Because she came to me because of body hurt, pain, lack of ingredients. Death to the baby too. Now it just so happens that some other bright spark, her again, because she'd been told to come and see me, so she told the man she got involved with to come and see me because his varicocele operation hadn't worked. So he still didn't have very many sperm. So she said, go and see Heather. So it's a 3-hour drive every Saturday morning involved coming and seeing me. And I found out that he'd broken up from the girlfriend, so it didn't matter. And that was the same woman who had that baby inside for the first 23 weeks drinking Diet Coke after the grief of losing that baby, after having had such a depleted body, and she left the abusive relationship, started another one, had this baby, and this 2-year-old was the worst kid he'd ever met in his life, and he wasn't going to have anything to do with her because that kid was feral. Neurological consequences. We don't make them properly, and we've got an uphill battle. We then start poisoning them because it's this thing called ethical, and we're in deep trouble. Oh, but we're not going to get paid if we don't. Yeah, well, I don't know how much money you think it's going to cost to rectify my daughter, but there isn't. It doesn't exist. It's not possible. And I don't think that 2-year-old, who's goodness knows how old now, is also ever going to be okay. So how much damage is he going to do in the world? Rather too much. Just rather too much. He's never going to make it in the world. Boy, it takes a village to raise one child, to fund one child. We don't have enough of these villages to fund these non-productive people who are going to kill us because they're on ice or they're behind the wheel or whatever, and they're scared of the sun, and they're not growing properly because they've got a slip, slop, slap in order to go outside, and their mum's too busy, and so she's doing whatever she's doing, which isn't actually helpful, and we're in deep trouble. So let's go back to neurological consequences. We won't make them properly, we won't get the flows flowing, we won't bother with the ingredients, and it's all about mum being precious, and she's not going to have a birth because it might hurt. It's going to hurt more when you hate your kid. It's going to hurt more when that becomes infected, you can't breastfeed, and the whole thing's too hard and you don't want it any longer. You can't give it back. Be the kid. Pain. All sickness is homesickness. Shut down. Need to take supplements, sustenance, medications, anything to feel better. Behaviours awry. Everything's a mess. We've got hormonal disruption. We've got young girls having breasts and periods way too early. They are then preyed upon. How safe was it to have a mother who didn't give a damn? She was busy being a princess. You are helping her be a princess. That word I rubbed off, induction, she didn't want to feel it. Well, she might need to get something serious in her head, like what dads can do. She needs to sit forward. If you think you're going to get the baby in a better position, whose leg are you pulling? I started with that. How ethical is it to pretend we don't have a structure? If you think bladder 62, 67 is going to work on mocks or on the big little toe, you're a fool. I don't care what it says in the books and who said what. It's not going to work 100%. And you might have the baby tied up in knots and asphyxiate itself because there's a real knot in the cord, and if it goes into the right position, it's going to die. Surely it's better off coming mum first. I've had one of them. She didn't come to me to be turned. She went to the doctor who turned the baby. The baby died, that's why. So I'm just saying that I have conversations with women. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? Okay, they reckon this is going to happen if you don't, but what's going to happen if you do? Perhaps we might just give nature its head, except we can't, because Robin Lim, spelled L-I-M, R-O-B-I-M, Lim, Robin Lim, write that down, it's getting a bit old in the day, Robin Lim, go and look up anything she's done. She's done a TEDx talk, she's done a lot of work on birthing and the third stage of labour and the importance of having the cord blow. And she's now discovered, she's doing a case series. Oh, the lowest form of research! And she's discovering that there are really big problems happening with the umbilical cord because of exposure to glyphosate, and it's killing mums and it's killing the babies. The glycine is mucking up the connective tissue, so it doesn't have Wharton's jelly, it doesn't have all of the fibres it needs to have. In a third world country, they're finding they need to do cesareans and the baby and mum might both die anyway, because what they've got now is genetically modified humans. Moving back from that, we're not there yet. You need to pay attention. You have to follow nature. You've got to do something about stopping all these bright new ideas because somebody thought it was a great one. Because neurological consequences, we're not making fetuses because the sperm's no good. Like, you know, I've done that in other places. Now we've got the baby and the baby has come too soon. Why? Because there weren't the nutrients. There wasn't the flow. Mum was too scared, so the baby got cut out at 37 weeks. Not even 38 weeks. Excuse me, it's the first one. It wasn't due for another month. What's developing in the last 4 weeks? The brain. Oh. Baby didn't signal it wanted to breathe yet. It's neurologically incompetent. It's not grown properly yet. Its gut's not working yet. Mum, it's all about mum. And it doesn't stop being about mum. She doesn't want to break feet. She doesn't want her boobs messed up. It just doesn't get any better. Now, Mum and everybody around her have had the whooping cough injection. On and on and on and on. And the kid's filled with hepatitis B, which is full of aluminium, which is why babies die from the that injection. Well, let's pretend it's an inert placebo, shall we? That's what they did with the HPV. In whose reality is this research? We've got the full HPV and we've got everything taken out except the aluminium adjuvant. Where's the give the saline water? Where's the give no injection and see the difference? Oh, we know vaccination's safe, so we don't worry about them. Which acupuncture research would last the distance like that? We know vaccination's safe. How do we know that? We can prove it's not. It's not effective either, but never mind. Did that kid need the hepatitis B injection? Of course it didn't. Was it going to be is it ethical to follow that line of thinking? It's just not. So anyway, look at Robin Lim. So now we're going to look at neurological. Well, there's some of the stumbling blocks. I'm sure we can find a lot more. So we're going to assume the baby has gotten to two. Oh, did it get breastfed till then? Of course it didn't. Mum needed to go back to work. She needed to go back to work. We have an unethical society that has mums and dads living together as a unit, not having one income between two people. I was on about this 40 years ago. It hasn't changed. So how ethical is it to pretend mums don't matter? Let's go back to, if you've got two mums, that longitudinal study discovered that actually children with two mums were better than one mum or no mum. Oh, I don't even think they did no mum. They probably did it up against a normal, supposedly normal nuclear family. So I think we need to rewrite the book a bit and go back to the basics behind us. What did the grandmothers say to do? Neurologically, if you're not going to have the nutrients, so we've got fetal, and of course pre-fetal, preconception, and then fetal, we've got birth. Remember, now we're at the first third of life, and we're going to assume we haven't been shut down on account of all the things that happened. Now we've got a mum that actually wants us, and I'm sorry if this has happened to you in your mother's case or in your own children's case. Look, it's got to be said, we were broken. We didn't do this on purpose. We didn't do whatever we did, wish we hadn't done. Then we're stuck on all these antidepressants, suppressing our life force. Yeah, well, what about the nutrients? What about the golden month? Go and get Jenny Allison's book, The Golden Month. It's a lovely little book from Beatnik Press in New Zealand. Jenny's done The Golden Month, and she's gone anthropologically through different cultures, including the Chinese. I know that the Japanese culture, daughter goes home to live with mum, with her baby, for the first couple of months. And mum might come back and live with her. We have to have somebody looking after mum. Now look, they're going to be doing the belly binding, which is on the heathersays.com site. They're going to be doing the faha. They're going to be doing herbal packs. They're going to be doing the steams. They're going to be doing the chicken broth and herbs. They're going to be doing you lie down and shut up. And they're going to be looking after the household, and they're going to be bringing the baby or the baby's there with them, and they are bonding and doing very little else because they are being sensible. They need her up and running the show. To do that, she has to recover. She has to have the evagination process going on in her uterus, back to a little wee uterus. I showed you the little wee uterus. It's got to do that. And mum's got to recover her chi. She's got to recover her good humour. She's got to recover her blood. She's got to get the hang of being in love with that new being. What happened? Oh, well, she needs to go back to work. According to who? According to this bunch over here. So when did we become slaves? And prostitutes. And servants. Always been. Just saying that we do need to look after mum when she's got a baby. Otherwise, what's the new crop going to be like? Completely disconnected. And they are bringing knives to school and they're killing each other. So here we go. That's what Dr. Michel Odette wrote. He also wrote a book called The Farmer and the Obstetrician. Yes. You don't get in between the mother elephant and her baby. She'll stomp on you. She's got to sort the problem out. And if you were birthing primarily, you'd be in the same kettle of fish, don't you touch my kid. And there'd be all hell to pay if you even thought you were mine. Okay, so the second third of life until week 10. What's going to happen there? Oh, these days, you go and have a look at any pro-life site, otherwise called anti-vaccination, and you see the tiny little amount of vaccines and then like that and now like that and there's more coming. How's that going to help you, Wei Chi, when you've got all that adjuvants? And I'm not even talking about the foreign DNA from the birds and the fetal aborted humans that they're making these on. And what's that going to do for our body, do you think? We're going to have a baby that's having an autoimmune response for the rest of its life. Its gene is not going to develop. And that's before we talk about what it gets up to try and assuage its upset by starting to be an alcoholic by the time it's 13. Because I've had patients like that. And they're cutting and they're mutilating. And where's the ethics in us pretending they could need to go to a doctor? Where's the ethics in saying the woman who's got postnatal psychosis needs to go to the doctor? I don't doubt she needs to not kill anyone. But should we perhaps undo what's happening in her reality? Should we perhaps not have noticed that she had that crack in her tongue with the dry phlegm in it? Should we perhaps not have noticed she had the hot feet at night, wasn't drinking water, was actually in an abusive relationship of some description or other, was raped by the medical profession, went through what the safe birth is going to be? How ethical is it to tell women if they don't have that baby now it's going to die? So we're looking at neurological consequences. I've got neurological consequences because Catherine caught toxoplasmosis inside me. I didn't know about that. I was carrying a third of the diseases in the diseases for the fetus and newborn at the time I was having Catherine. I was going to have Catherine buggered up one way or another. She had an exceptionally long cord. I was told by the psychic I was seeing to not notice it coming. I gave the job to my husband. She said, and when she was born, the doctor said, that's a very long cord. He was very surprised it wasn't around her at least once. Anyway, he did something about seeing it floating free, and I guess it did. Didn't stop her from being born purple from here down. Oh, segue to the story I was telling you yesterday. And another acupuncturist who was at the birth with me said, Heather, you might need to know this later. She went pink, but this was all purple from here down. I'm going, doesn't surprise me at all. She had a story, which is outside the realms of this presentation. So, I had toxoplasmosis and I was really sick the whole time. Where was the ethics of pretending that I didn't need to be looking after myself better? I was too busy doing other things, and that's a whole new story. And so when Catherine was born, she wasn't vaccinated because we didn't vaccinate people back then, but she was given vitamin K because I wouldn't have been asked about that, didn't know about it, they just did it. So I didn't know about that. And Catherine was never okay, and she went from never okay to almost dead. And the ethics of the paediatrician who didn't listen to the mother until 2 weeks when she was fitting continually, is a problem. And from there, I did what I could. And then you saw what I presented in 7 years down the track. Well, one thing led to another, and that kid happened, and she got shoved off elsewhere, and blah, blah, blah. And when she was 19 years old, I found the liquid-activated zeolites, and I got her carers to give that to her. And within 2 days, she was less autistic, and within a week, she was not having the status epileptus fits that was sending her off in an ambulance, which she'd been having forever, that they hadn't bothered to tell me about because the anticonvulsants could only do so much. That stopped after she started the drops because now the magnesium in her food, I wasn't giving her supplements, was enough to have the neurological pathways and the electrical conductivity in her brain to be working better. That's big. So what do we think we're doing, having teenagers who have now got fits? Well, that would have been the compulsory hepatitis B. Why? The MMR, really, again and again and again, because of course it doesn't work, so we have to keep on doing it. And the HPV, which is completely, got a huge bolus of the aluminium. Mm. Let's pretend that's safe and they are being hysterical. Well, that's a good story. It's like the Gulf War veterans all being goodness knows what. They were just injected with squalene, which actually killed them, at the right dosage for the mortality. And if you go and look at, I think it's called the A vaccine, the anthrax that they were given. Oh, but let's pretend it's the Coca-Cola cans left too long in the sun. They had all sorts of stories about that. Where was the ethics in any of that? Missing. We're going to rewrite it. We continually rewrite it. And so when we're looking at neurological, the amount of catastrophe that is being visited to children now is beyond it. So the 1 in 6 needing special ed is getting worse. So let's just go, we're pretending teenage years are not happening. I've just mentioned that in passing. And then we have a car accident. Now we're kept alive. Or we might have nearly drowned, and we're kept alive. And what's going to happen next? Quite a lot of nasty things, quite frankly. Because then and amongst all of that, we're going to have, we get rescued when we should have been not rescued. I mentioned that in passing in the first thing I did of this. What I have learnt now is that we need to get rid of what is blocking the nutrients. Because if we don't do that, we can't expect the body to rebuild itself. And it can, but it can't without the nutrients. Now, which person in a vegetative state gets any vitamin D? They're never outside, point one. So how's their nerves supposed to regenerate? There's no vitamin D. They're not allowed any fat because it would all coagulate. Yes, indeed. And they're not eating, so let's put a button here and put stuff straight out of the fridge into there. Oh, lordy, lordy. And they're making it up with the fluoridated water. Maybe just kill them, it'd be easier. Would you like to be in that body? And that's before we talk about all the contaminants all the way around. And that person, if they've got anybody at home who's vaguely human, is going to be trying to kill themselves. They're going to want you to end it because they're sharing that space with all sorts of nasties and they can't, they're just stuck in it. Gosh, now that might be us in another couple of years because we might have had a stroke, because we might have fallen down, bashed our head and we're over it, but we're not, we're still in the body, but we can't escape from it. We might have had an operation and they didn't notice that our heart rate went up a bit. Our blood pressure went up a bit. That was us feeling everything. How ethical is it to not be finding check packs to make sure they're not just being precious because we're all wired differently? Look, I don't have answers here. But I'm saying as acupuncturists, perhaps we should be stop playing that game, start playing that game because that was our medicine. So neurological, lack of ingredients, lack of flow, lack of common sense. We're not doing chi medicine. And they are not here as a physical body, they have a spirit and a soul. And anything is possible. You know, I talked to you about that guy and his broken back in 3 places. I expected it to get better. Why wouldn't it? Give it what it needs, why wouldn't it? Because somebody said it would. Moxa works, Kapal works, prayer works, Reiki works, gosh, Qigong works, needles work, our medicine works. We don't need to prove it that it does. By pretending that we're going to hold one thing steady and forget that if we're talking about the immune system, it might be, you know, person's allergic to something. When did you last have a flu injection? Oh, every year diligently, right. So we've got more and more and more and more and more and more and more heavy metals, and so we've got less and less and less and less ability to access iodine, anything. Yang energy's not going to work. Hello, there we go again. It's not working. They might be sleeping under the cold fan all the time because that's how their husband does it. So, of course, they've still got hay fever. It doesn't matter which point you put in. You might have a mother's look first. Could you just do that? Could you just go and look at your practice and have a look? Is it biologically sustainable? Because I'm going to suspect that quite a lot of what your life is about is not. And this might be the beginning of a much easier life when you let the dust settle. So thank you for watching and look at the other presentations I've got. Looks like we've got something in order.
You should have.